Thank you so much for, I consider it an honor to be asked to come back and share this time with you prior to a new pastor coming. I know you're very excited about his coming, probably more so than anyone else is, but I can say I join you in that excitement for the young man that's coming to lead this church into its future. And we'll say more about that in a few moments, but Brother Tom, thank you. It's always a privilege to be able to share worship with you. I love your spirit. I love the songs that you choose to lead us in worship. And we are grateful for all of the servants. As we were doing the children's sermon, I'll have to tell on one of the little girls as they were, searching their brains to try to come up with answers. This little girl is sitting next to me, and what a beautiful group of children, folks. You that are parents, grandparents of those, I know that you're proud of them. But one of the little girls looked up at me, and she said, "Is he one?" I said, "Yes, he is, and we as pastors really appreciate those ones right there." And so we're grateful to be here this morning. Yes, Brother Tom recognized a young man that's with us and mentioned grandson. I call these my spiritual sons. We have two sons by blood, and we have a host of sons and daughters that are ours through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that are given to us. And since I retired from pastoral ministry, one of the things that God has called me to do, gifted me to do, is to be a mentor, to coach young men. And Jared Broom, that Tom recognized, is one of those young men, among a host of them. And another one is one of your own, is Chris. And so we have the opportunity to share in their journey, their spiritual journey, to walk with them. We share Bible studies together. We may find a book that we really want to get into and look at that. I talk to them about their choices in life, their relationships. And in other words, I've told them, I said, whatever you want to bring to the table, we will take a look at it, and I thank God for it. And I commend these two young men. They have their names for me. I'm getting an echo. Is that me, or is that... I just messed that up. That's good. I come into churches and mess things up, you know. but I also come in church and fix a few things too, okay? But anyway, we're on the same note. But talking about being a grandson, Jared, these guys come up with different names, and I'm Pops. That's who I am to him. And to Chris there, I'm Boss Man. And so you parents, Chris's parents, they're here if you want to talk to me. You probably say, well, why does he call you Boss Man? And, of course, he's a big guy, and I don't think that takes much to figure out why that is. But love these guys and all the other. And one of your former servants, Mike Jones, is among that group as well. So appreciate them being here. This morning, as we come to this place of opening the Word together, I want to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Chapter 16, we're going to read one verse from Matthew chapter 16. And then we're going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians, and that will be the background for our message this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So as you're finding Matthew 16 and 1 Thessalonians 2, I would ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 16, 24. These are the words of Jesus. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now turn with us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Excuse me. Paul addressing the church at Thessalonica. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. This morning, what I want to speak to you, as been mentioned, is follow the leader, Jesus says. Follow the leader, Jesus says. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Now, Father, I pray that the word that's been read will become the word, Father, that finds a place in our heart, in our living, in our day-to-day going, Father, that it will have that impact. It will be that which drives us, directs, guides us, Father, into a greater relationship with you as we reach out to minister in your name. Father, I pray for those under the hearing of the reading of your word and under the voice of your servant. And God, may we together see the challenge that's here for us this morning and renew our commitment, rededicate ourselves to being those who follow the leader as Jesus says for us to do so. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and amen. You may be seated. We've all played the children's game, Follow the Leader, and Simon Says. The leaders in these games function quite differently in their leadership roles. In the game, Follow the Leader, we've all probably played that game at one time or another. One of my older brothers, was always the leader. And you know what us younger siblings do when there's an older one that does something? We're going to do it, or we're going to bust a gut. We're going to give it everything that we've got. And he, as a leader, was very, very demanding, very challenging. And I'd do everything I could never to be put out of the game because I could not follow the leader. In Follow the Leader, you've got to do what the leader does. In other words, if he jumps, you jump. If he runs, you run. Whatever he does, you have got to do that or you're going to be out of the game. In other words, in Follow the leader is actively involved. He's doing what he is challenging you to do. General D. Eisenhower demonstrated the art of leadership with a piece of simple string. The general would put a piece of string on the table and he would say, pull it, it'll follow you wherever you wish. Push it and it will go nowhere. People follow best by those who lead by example. Now, in the game Simon Says, the leader gives directions for those to follow. If the leader says walk, you walk. If the leader says talk, you talk. Whatever the leader says, that's what you do. He is not actively involved in the game except by direction. Without realizing it, when we were playing these games as children, little did we realize that this is the very concept that Jesus initiated among his disciples. To follow, to obey, to initiate, to respond to the leader. But the difference, church, we're not playing a children's game in church. Although I'll be quick to say that it's sad, too often people in the church do play games. They play the game of politics, of power, of jockeying for position. And I've come to recognize that too many churches are built around the Simon Says leadership type. The leader just tells them what to do. And like the follow the leader type leadership, where the leader is involved in leading his people. Let me be quick to say, I think there can be a healthy balance of both types of leadership in the church, and a good and godly leader will recognize that and utilize both types of leadership. The story is told of a young girl who was planning on going to college, became disheartened by a question that was asked on the entrance exam. The question was, "Are you a leader?" Well, this young lady had a deep conviction about honesty, very conscientious about her answer. She wrote no, and she returned her application not knowing what the response to her acceptance would be. To her surprise, she received this reply, "Dear applicant, a study of our application forms reveals that this year we will have 1,472 new leaders. We're accepting you because we feel it's imperative that we have at least one follower on our campus." It's my conviction, if you want a great leader, church, you must first become a great follower. Joshua followed Moses. Elijah followed Elijah. The Apostle Peter followed Jesus, as each of us who are believers do so. Jesus alone possesses the authority to command, and yet he chose to come himself as a follower, the leader type leader. He taught his disciples to follow the leader, where these followers would one day be the very leaders themselves. If you haven't figured it out yet, church, I'm going to be talking about leadership this morning. And I'm going to be talking about leadership next Sunday. I'm going to be with you two Sundays. And thank you for that opportunity. And as I am with you to speak about leadership, in 2 weeks, your new pastor, Daniel Malone, a young man of God, I believe with all of my heart, a God-called man that I'm so grateful to be able to call my friend. And I commend you for calling him as your pastor. And I challenge you this day and next Sunday to follow the leader. Jesus says, I believe Jesus, who said to his early disciples, "Follow me," wants his followers today to follow their God-called leaders. And if you want a great pastor, then you must be a great follower. If you want a good leader, you must be good followers. Now, we find that, I find my notes, we find something that's significant, and there's a parallelism with the church at Thessalonica that we read about and Big Spring Baptist Church. You see, the church at Thessalonica was blessed to have a very invaluable pastor leadership in the Apostle Paul. However, he was not the only one that gave leadership to that church. Paul had ministry partners of Silas and Timothy. Now, these God-called men were of key importance in the success of that church's role in kingdom work. Through Paul's ministry in this church, we see a helpful and useful resource about leaders and leadership personnel. Just as when Pastor Daniel comes, with he and Brother Tom and the makeup of the worship team they make up, and those others who are in leadership positions below them, and I don't mean to use the word below, meaning they're anyway insignificant, but in the fact that we have our our pastor, we have our worship leader. We have those men who lead us in those areas, just like the church at Thessalonica. I don't know if Silas or Timothy was a worship leader or not, but I know some of these disciples could sing, and they did their best singing, it seemed like, in the prison, Brother Tom. People who are in leadership are essential and important, instrumental in victory, whether it's a military leader, whether it's a coach of a team, the CEO of a corporation, president of a country, or the manager of a store, the head of the family, or the relationship in the church. They are important. They must be there. I always commended, when I was in the pastorate, always commended all of those who served in those volunteer positions, because you know what? They made me as a senior pastor look good. And therefore, I wanted to make them look good as well. It's a cooperative effort. And the church at Thessalonica provides a model for believers to follow leadership. And it's important that the Apostle Paul, who was their pastoral leader at that time, be seen as a role model for leaders. Look at him, watch him, and you can be able to follow him. This is what Paul said of himself. Do you ever say things of yourself? Sometimes it's the only way you'll get something good said about yourself, is to say it about yourself. But listen to what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said this to another group of believers at Corinth. He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Be followers of me as I follow Christ." The ESV Bible says, to be imitators of me. Imitate me as I am of Christ. Paul knew. Why could Paul make a statement like that? Why would Paul make a statement? Because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And he didn't hesitate to tell believers to follow or to initiate his walk, because he wanted to for them to see that he was an example, that he was a role model to them. But let me be quick to say that if you are a follower of Jesus or a leader of his, you should be an example to all of those who need to see Jesus and who need to come to know him as their personal Savior. We are too quick, I find, to say, "Don't look at me, look at Jesus," and rightfully so. However, how many times have you heard this statement? "Don't do as I say, or I do." Don't do as I say, or I do. You know, you've heard that statement. And while that is true, we should not do just what others say or what others do without there being credibility and integrity in that individual as there was in Paul. However, I will be quick to say that if we're a follower, listen, I have no problem speaking to those two young men back there words of wisdom, words of counsel and advice, because I know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I know that I want them to see Christ in me. I'll never forget when we were on staff of a church in Memphis, Tennessee, and we would have time for people to share their stories or their testimonies. We had, at that time, Brother Gus Rialto. I'll never forget Gus as long as I lived, and that's been eons ago. Because I have to say that because these guys are all the time giving me a hard time about how old I am. But in light of eternity, I'm just a kid, all right? But Gus Rialto, Italian, loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would get up and he would share his testimony of faith in Christ. And this is what Brother Gus would say: "If anyone sees any good in my life, they will have to be looking at the Jesus that I serve." That was his testimony. And so if there's anything that needs to be seen in our life that's worthy, that's good, that's commendable, it needs to be Jesus Christ. And therefore, we ought to be able to say to those that we stand in front of in leadership, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Follow the leader." Because the leader is going to be involved in giving that leadership to you. Well, I must move on. There are several noble and needed characteristics of those who make great leaders and good followers. It works both ways. And this morning, I just want to introduce two of the five characteristics. We're going to come back next Sunday, and we're going to look at the rest of these characteristics. But in verse 2, I want you to go back, and I want you to note of what Paul says there in verse 2. He says, we dared in spite of opposition. What Paul was saying there in that scripture, that we've already suffered and been shamefully treated, as you know, we had boldness. We dared to declare to you the gospel in the midst of this. And so a great leader is a man or woman of great courage. Great leaders are people of courage. A great leader's mission is to take people from where they are and where they need to be. And sometimes in order for that to happen, you are going to face opposition. There's going to be conflict. If you have been a member of a church for any time at all, you know there will be conflicts. And oftentimes that conflict doesn't come from without. It comes from within, just like in our own walk with Christ. Many times the conflict that's in my life is not because of what someone else says or does. It's because of what's going on in my life. And we find that no one knew opposition at its worst like the Apostle Paul. He discovered to do the right thing for the right reason oftentimes will bring opposition. And when opposition comes, some leaders have a meltdown. I mean, they have a meltdown. They want to tuck tail and run. But I want to tell you something about this young man that's coming to this church that I have known over the last several years. This young man will not tuck tail and run. This young man will not have a meltdown, because this young man is a man of courage. He is a man of conviction. He is a God-called leader, and he will stand up rather than stand down in the face of opposition. And with will and courage and conviction, stand up and speak the truth that Paul says. He says, we dared to speak the truth to you in spite of opposition. You know, it's easy to live the Christian life. It's easy to follow Christ when it's easy, you know. But let the conflict, let the opposition, let the problems, let the issues of life come along. And we just want to kind of, you know, stick our head in the sand until it goes away. But a great leader will be a courageous leader with a spirit of compassion and love. Season. They season that courage. They season that boldness with a compassion and love. And they take charge, as Paul gave a charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word in season and out season. When people want to hear the word and when people don't want to hear the word. I thought Dr. Lockerman was getting into my sermon this morning. I always try to catch him if I can. And he was right in this area on some things this morning. And Brother Tom, I know you were over at First Baptist. Made me feel good. I mean, listen, Dr. Lockerman, Larry Bryant, wow, you know. But great leader. With courage, he will correct. He'll rebuke. He'll encourage. And he will do so with love, compassion, patience. Great leaders are people of courage and good followers. We'll follow the leader, Jesus says. And Jesus knows what he's talking about. But not only that characteristic, that great leaders are people of courage, but the second noble and needed characteristic is great leaders are people purpose-driven. Now, I want to say something right away. You hear the word purpose-driven, most of us immediately think of Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life. Well, I want to tell you something. That idea, that concept, purpose-driven, didn't come from the mind of Rick Warren. It comes straight out of the Scriptures, because I have found, and I'm sure there's more than what I found, but there are 42 verses in the New Testament that aim at the concept of purpose-driven. And Paul states in this text of ours this morning, in verse 4, what the one singular purpose-driven goal was for the leader and for the followers. Paul says here in verse 4, just as we have been approved by God, approved, called, set apart by God Himself to be entrusted with the gospel. Church, as much as I, as an individual, is entrusted with the gospel, you as a body of believers here at Big Spring, you have been entrusted with the gospel. And Paul says, so we speak it. And notice this, not to please men. Not to please men. I have been in this way for almost 50 years as preaching the word. Now, I've been a believer longer. But I will soon be coming up to 50 years of preaching this word. And I can stand in your pulpit as I've stood in pulpits in several places of this country and say that I have never preached this gospel to please anyone. I have been purpose-driven, as Paul goes on to say, but to please God who tests our hearts. A purpose-driven leader is the one who keeps the main thing, the main thing. And what is the main thing? The gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news of salvation that Jesus Christ brought unto us who were a purpose-driven leader will not get preoccupied, will not become distracted from this goal to keep the main thing, to lose sight of the goal that I am to please God first and foremost. And church, you ought to be grateful to have a man that has that kind of conviction to please God first before he ever pleases men. Now, there's a strong temptation to be a people pleaser. There is. Some of my brothers in the ministry, they struggle with that. They want to be. We all want to please people. I mean, because why? We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. We want to be affirmed. But let me say, the purpose-driven leader seeks not, listen to me, church, seeks not to be popular. You know, I'll never forget when I followed a youth pastor. See, I had a life before this age that I am, you know. But when I went to succeed a student pastor, there was one of the young girls in that group. I could tell she had an attitude. How could I tell it? It not only showed on her, she spoke it because you will never take Tom's place. His name was Tom. He must have been good. Tom seemed to be good. But she said, you'll never take Tom's place. And I just looked at her. I think it was like within the first few months. And I said, sweetheart, let me tell you something. I didn't come take anybody's place. I came to make my place. And you can either get with me where I am or you can deal with it because I'm here. You know what? That young lady became one of my most devoted, committed workers in that youth group. And to this day, my wife and I have contact with her and her husband, who later himself went on to be a student pastor. Yeah. We want to please people, but our call is not to please people. Our call is not to be popular, not to make enemies. We don't want to appear unloving. We want to keep peace at all cost. And if you try to do all of those things, then you're going to be jockeying to try to keep your job at all cost. Because you please God, and everything else will fall in place as it should. When a leader runs around trying to please people, here's the image. You've all seen it, I'm sure. But when a leader runs around trying to please people, it's like the man in the circus who has the plates on the stick, and he's getting those plates swirling and twirling on that stick, and he runs to this one and to this one and to this one, and he's got to keep, and he's jockeying back and forth, trying to do that. You know what? Ultimately, he's not going to be able to keep those plates moving, or he's going to drop trying to do it. Now, I'll tell you what. When you please God, you can keep the plates a-twirling, and you can keep yourself energized to keep going. That's what God does for you. Purpose-driven leader. Fix their eyes on their purpose, keeps the main thing, will not allow themselves to lose sight of their God-given goal. I'll leave you with this question this morning. Yeah, I'm through. You didn't think I'd ever get there, did you? Yeah, I'm through this morning. And here's the simple question. Do you, church, do you or would you agree that we need more God-called leaders to follow than Simons to obey? Did you hear me? Would you agree we need more God-called leaders to follow and less Simons to obey? If so, the answer is easy. If you agree, follow the leader. Jesus says, you have a new pastor coming on board. Brother Nolan Phillips has done an outstanding job in these last many months as your interim. But, there still may be some things you need to deal with that you want to get dealt with before this young man comes, because you want to be on board when he comes. You want to be everything to this young couple that you can be. You want to get in there. You want to support. You want to rally around them. You want them to know that they have a friend in you, because I promise you, Brother Daniel will be your friend as well as your pastor. So, church, follow the leader. Follow the leader, Jesus says. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to share your word this morning with this people. And Father, I just pray that anticipation of the new pastor coming, the Big Spring Church leadership, and from there, hearts would be right, hearts would be ready, folks would be receiving that which God is bringing into their midst and be ready to hit the ground running. As we'll be speaking tonight, break forth, O church. Speak to our hearts now, Lord Jesus, in this time of invitation. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Brother Tom.
Let's stand as we sing. I'll say yes, Lord, yes.